Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio, Speed City.
Good evening, gearheads. Welcome to Speed City, your Sunday night with Speed City. This is John Massengill sitting in the studio in Austin with my friend Les Kaiser. How are you, Mr. Kaiser?
Man, I am doing awesome. It's been a busy weekend for cars.
It has, considering we don't have Formula One or IndyCar. We had plenty of other stuff going on, and I am really excited about what we got on the show tonight because I have some really fun, nerdy motorsports stuff on top of all the racing that we're going to talk about, because we're going to talk MotoGP. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, folks. I can't protect you.
We're going to talk in two dimensions tonight. So if you haven't gotten that upgrade on your radio, don't worry about it. We're going to downgrade you automatically, so don't worry about it. But two dimensions, Les, keep that thought in mind.
Two dimensions.
All right, so we're going to talk...
What the hell have we gotten into here?
Thank you. Thank you. He's scaring me.
We're going to talk MotoGP because they had the Dutch GP at Assen. We're going to talk IMSA because I watched probably 4.5 hours of the 6 hours. Maybe a little less because they were off the air for an hour because of lightning at Watkins Glen.
Right.
That was pretty cool seeing the old Formula One track up there. I was pretty young when that was going on, so I didn't really watch much of Formula One back in the 70s. But we're going to talk a little Trans Am because Jonathan Green, you don't hear his voice tonight. He is up creating mayhem at Mid-Ohio, and he sent us a little clip of he and Ryan Sheehan, who's a Formula 4 racer from Austin, who had a good weekend. He finished on the podium, and I'll look up everything else he did, but he had a good weekend, and we're going to hear from those guys. There was Goodwood, and oh my gosh, there is the coolest car that I want to talk about at Goodwood. There's Pikes Peak. You got a video of that. So lots of stuff going on, and we have lots of cool discussions, too, Formula 1 and others.
I was out at COTA drilling on a 1969 Lotus F2 car yesterday.
Whoa, drilling?
Drooling.
Lusting
over it, drooling.
Okay, that's good.
Gosh, well, it was gorgeous. There were some wicked cars out there for a private event. Didn't get to take pictures, but just take my word.
Well, when I was talking about two dimensions, I'm actually being real. There's some science and some technology that I was literally laying in bed about to fall asleep watching an engineering video on YouTube and sat up straight in the bed when this came on, an engineering video. And
then Laura smacked you on the head.
Well, yeah, but it's really cool. And it's something that maybe a listener or watcher can tell me I'm crazy, but I'm really excited to talk about this. And we're going to talk about it a little later in the show.
All right. Call in. Be the first to call in crazy.
That's right. By the way, if you ever do want to join the Sunday night show, we have lots of callers on our Formula One show, but Sunday night it's 512-643-5483. But let's start off tonight, Les. Let's start at the top. Let's start at MotoGP.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Pikes Peak.
That's true. Oh, I missed it. That would have been
perfect. Race to the clouds. There you go.
That would have been perfect.
Go ahead. Go with MotoGP. I didn't get to see it.
All right. Well, MotoGP, it was at Assen, and so it was the Dutch GP. And it was, obviously a typical MotoGP race, death-defying and fantastic to watch, right? But the big deal, let me bring up my notes. The big deals in the race were two crashes by your championship leader.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Ouch.
That's
not the way you win them.
No, it was not pretty. Turn five was pretty devastating there because there were two crashes. And one of them was actually a really scary looking high side because... Fabio Quartararo, your championship leader, at turn five, early on in the race, he had a pretty mild looking low side crash. And, but you know, you're championship leader, it's a big deal, but he was actually able to get back up and get into the race. And then later in the race, I think it was turn five again, but with 14 laps to go, man, he crashed high side, and it was scary. You know, one of those kinds where his feet were literally pointing at the sky. So it was really, really ugly. It was a savage crash for him. So,
right.
But Ducati ended up looking good after this because, you know, Francesco Bagnaia, he shot back into the title picture after taking a victory in Assen. So that was pretty cool. And of course, this is the last race before they have a long summer break, a 5-week summer break.
Right.
I don't know. I don't remember
that
being.
Feels long.
Yeah. It seems like it's like F1, typically 3.5 to 5, you know, I mean, 3.5 to 4 weeks, depending on how the races were on either a Saturday or whatever. But this one seems at 5 weeks, but it's a long summer break. But anyway, so, it was the second crash for the factory Yamaha team because Franco Morbidelli crashed with 19 to go, also at turn five. Hmm. So, and Darren Bender crashed out at turn eight with 18 to go. But at the very end of the race, it was really exciting because Alicia Spargaro grabbed fourth place. He was in sixth place. And I think maybe with like three turns to go, he blast on the inside of Brad Binder and Jack Miller to rescue fourth after he had some early race drama. So that was pretty cool to see that. But I don't know. How much MotoGP have you been able to watch this year with all our Formula One stuff?
You know, honestly, not a lot. I've been keeping busy with a lot of other things going on. But I still am kind of looking at the results as they go through. And a lot of times I'll watch, you know, MotoGP does a great thing. They put out the highlights of the race. You know, you can wake up tomorrow morning or probably even now and check them out on some of those different sites. It's really nice to catch a capsule of what was going on and the highlights of the race.
Well, the best by far is MotoGP.com. If you've got the app, man, as you know, it is their OTT app, as they call it these days, is one of the best, if not the best. It's really, really good. And you get to catch up on everything and tons of video too. But what else from the race today? That's definitely the high points.
So the one thing I got to ask, what's up with Marquez? Where is he? Is he back on a bike again? You know, he was on, he was off, he was on, he was off. He's done that in one single race. But this season, I think he is actually out for a long recovery. He came back and had some injuries. And so I haven't looked recently on it. And that's one of the things I'll usually check out.
Well, did you see, speaking of him, he showed his scar. It looks like a horror movie on his shoulder.
I mean,
it comes down his shoulder and just looks like, I mean, reminds me of one of those like super graphic shark attack scars. It is a scary, ugly scar. And you think, my God, how did he ever get back on a bike after looking at that thing? I don't know when to expect Marquez back. So we'll see. I mean, he's had what, four surgeries on his right arm.
He's got to be the $6 million man plus inflation. I don't know what that is anymore.
That's very true. But yes, I don't know about Mark Marquez. I have not followed him, just like you, not followed him. We spent so much time on Formula One this year that we haven't followed MotoGP as much as I like to, because I love to watch MotoGP. But yeah, Les, why don't we go ahead and talk a little Pikes Peak? Because I watched MotoGP, but I didn't get to see much. I didn't really see any, now that I think about it. I was watching Goodwood.
Oh, Goodwood's great. Still on my bucket list to go to Goodwood. Also on to Pikes Peak. I had considered trying to get up there this year, but that didn't work out. There's a couple of really cool stories. So you may not have heard of Unplugged Performance, but with a name like that around motorsports, you might have an idea what it is. Unplugged Performance is this extremely high-performance driven company that focuses on making your Tesla fast or faster if it's a plaid.
Well, wait a minute. Unplugged, I thought that they didn't like electric vehicles.
I don't know, but I tell you what, it's pretty wicked. So they have taken a Tesla plaid and just totally modified it. They've done it with the Model S plaid. It is incredibly fast. They took it out to Laguna Seca as their shakedown, and apparently beat like several really high-end, notable, recognizable cars by like 3 and 4 seconds. And so that's been something else just to see how they're doing that. But they were headed to Pikes Peak this year, and that's going to be something. That was Randy Probst racing it, I believe, overall in the entire field. I think he wound up 19th.
Wow.
And so realize, folks, that when we're talking Pikes Peak, and when you wind up 19th overall, I mean, there's, you know, hundreds and hundreds of cars that are there. These are cars that are purpose-built. You know, some will call them one-trick ponies. That's just about what they are, because the elevation change going up to 14,000 feet from 8,000 is just a crazy thing to deal with, even with all the computer technology. But this being a Tesla, the altitude really didn't come into effect with that. And so I'm anxious to see some runs of this car, see how it turned out.
I saw a story. This was literally a headline I saw, and it said, stock 911 Turbo runs 2 seconds faster than this crazy modified Tesla, maybe the one you're talking about. The modified Tesla that I saw looked like it had a front porch of a front splitter.
Yeah.
I mean, it was literally, it looked like
downforce, baby.
30 inches sticking out from the front of the car. I was like, I have a hard time getting in my driveway. Imagine with my low car. I can't imagine that. But yeah, they said a factory bone stock with, I guess, race tires, a factory 911. Isn't the 911 Turbo the only car that can run with a Plaid? I mean, a brand
like
new
it.
One.
Yeah,
I
think it it's seems like it.
Like a sub 2 second or right around 2 second flat. But anyway.
Yeah. So the next one to talk about was the overall winner. Robin Shute has been doing fantastic out there. He's in a 2018 Wolf, which is a, you know, purpose built open wheel kind of thing, and it's all crazy the way it is. But he climbed all the way up 10 minutes 9.5 seconds.
Wow.
And that is hauling.
Okay,
it's
cool.
Just incredible what this car was able to do. There's a great video. Thanks for putting that up there. And a couple of different videos out there. One of them is a ride-along, and you can see as he goes through the clouds, truly, you know, in that kind of elevation, you're dealing with the cloud. And going in and out of clouds, or at that moment, you might think it's fog, but it's a cloud. And
What's the difference? Just the altitude.
Yeah. But yeah, it is just a crazy, wicked ride along video. Definitely check that out with Robin Shute, and congrats.
Mm. We have a watcher on YouTube, Mike Bowles. He's a regular. Hey, Mike. And he brought up one of the stories that I had in my doc to talk about this evening, and that's Robert Wickens' first race win.
Yeah, buddy.
Since his crash. How amazing was that to watch? I mean, I that's such a feel-good story. Mike was like, hey, that's our top story. He popped that right in as we started.
And, sounds good.
And it definitely is worthy of that consideration, because I mean, that devastating injury, spinal injury, I mean, say that. And it makes you think about the different motorsports that could have hand controls. You know, we've seen that
right.
On and off.
Right.
But that was pretty amazing, wasn't it?
Yeah, the hand controls are really interesting. And where you find them applied and things like that. Just by chance this morning, I was running over to one of the shops. And there's a guy here in Austin who I've met. Really friendly guy. You can't miss him. Once you see him, you're going to pick him out. He's riding one of those Earl sidecar motorcycles, because he only has one arm. But in his sidecars, his little canine buddy that rides along with him, usually with pilot goggles on. But he operates everything with one hand and his feet. And the Earl plays into that real, real well, the way the throttle and the clutch and everything is played out on that. But
that's
you're
cool.
Right. I love that. You know, I saw that this morning right after hearing about Wickens. And so I love what's happening for our mobility challenged buddies out here. And
yeah,
in the
he
street
won the,
and the race.
Wickens won the TCR class in the Mission Pilot Challenge for Brian Herta Autosport. And his last race victory was at the Nürburgring for Mercedes and DTM back in 2017. So, but yeah, that was, apparently he does have some feeling in his legs and can, you know, he can stand like using a brace or frame or whatever, but
yeah,
that was really, really emotional and very cool to see in our sport, you know, after watching what he's gone through. All right, guys, let's get a quick break squeezed in. And when we come back, we'll continue to break down the weekend, and eventually I'll get to my Formula One two-dimensional story. Listen to Speed City live from Austin. Back after this.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
If you want to know where the path to Formula One and Indy begins, it's three simple letters, VRD. VRD Racing of Atlanta, Georgia are dedicated to nurturing young single-seater drivers on their quest to the pinnacle of motorsport. Having just wrapped up the team's championship title in 2021 in the F4 U.S. Championship, VRD also has programs in FR Americas, the all-new USF Juniors, and the Road to Indy. VRD is the perfect environment for success. If you want to join the team, go drop them a DM on Instagram at velocity_RD.
Talk 13.7, the right choice.
For what it's worth, it was worth all the while. It's something unpredictable, but in the end it's right. I hope you had the time of your life.
Hi, this is Max Steppen, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Thank you, Mr. Verstappen. I saw a headline today. It's like, somebody, a pretty decent-sized news outlet's predicting that Max will have it all wrapped up with more than three races to go. I was like, ooh, that's pretty bold stuff considering how much we've seen this year, including a DNF in the last race for Sergio Perez. So
yeah,
we'll see how all that
won't
goes
make any
out.
Friends that way.
All right, guys, we are going to talk a lot more Formula One. We're going to talk my technology brainstorm epiphany that I had. I want you guys to tell me if I'm crazy or not, and then we're going to talk... We're talking a little about the driver market because we've had some news this week. There's been lots of things going on, lots of discussion, some very interesting discussion about the driver market in Formula One that we're going to talk about. But right now, I want to talk about something that just happened today, and that was at Mid-Ohio, there was the Formula Regionals, which is the original Formula 3 and Formula 4. And Trans Am, and that's where Jonathan was doing all the calling,
Jonathan
all the,
Green.
calling all of those races. And Ryan Sheehan actually is a F4 racer. He just turned 17. He's from right here in Austin, and we've watched him grow. And he's now racing in the Formula 4 series. And so we have a clip from Jonathan and Ryan. We'll hear from them now.
Well, thanks, John, and the rest of you at Speed City. Tonight's show, we are delighted to be joined by one of our own. Austin, Texas, is Ryan Sheehan here at Mid-Ohio. We've been talking and watching some great racing throughout the weekend. I was here for the SVRA Trans Am weekend, as well as FR and F4. Ryan, of course, has been racing, but racing to some good effect, too. Chasing hard on the championship in his second season. Ryan, tell us about your weekend.
Yeah, thanks for having me. We had some pretty good results here. A P2 in race one, some unfortunate damage in race two, got a puncture, but then brought it back for race three with a P3. So two podiums. I'm happy with that. It's a good haul of points.
And you're in contention for this championship now.
Yeah, absolutely. We're only halfway through the year, and if we can keep this performance up, we can claw our way back up.
The good news is I was really impressed, and I think you should make notice of this. You had a damaged wing. I don't know how it happened in race three, but you had a damaged wing throughout most of the race, but still managed to hold off the pack.
Yeah, it was just finding where we could make up time.
What happened?
Just light contact. Okay. Tried to go for a move. Door got closed. you know, it's racing. But yeah, just trying to feel out the car, feel where we were losing, where we could still push, and just trying to maximize the damage.
And tell the fans in Austin where you're headed next and when we can see you, which will be, I presume, at the Circuit of the Americas.
Yeah, we're going to New Jersey Motorsports Park next at the end of July. That's our next F4 race. And then we come to COTA in the middle of September for a USF Juniors race, and then at the beginning of November for the official F4 US race.
Okay, and if you can get in the top three, let's say, in F4, will you have a chance now of progressing to FR like we've seen many of the other great champions like Dakota Dickerson, like Lundqvist and many others before them, and obviously Kyle Kirkwood before him?
Yeah, that's my goal for next year. So obviously we want to perform to prove that we should be there, and to show that we can race at the front up there too.
Well, listen, we're delighted to see your progress. Great to see you in action and also doing the business for Austin and for your home of Texas. We'll see you at COTA. Come and join us on the F1 show anytime you like. We'll be following F1 throughout the season, but thanks for joining us. And quick shout out to where they can find you on social.
Yeah, at Ryan Sheehan official, or Ryan Sheehan Race on pretty much anything. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and RyanSheehan.com is our website. So go check him out.
All right, John, finally we found one. We found an Austin driver going on the way and going all the way for the top. Let's see if he can do it. Back to you guys.
That's pretty cool to have a driver, buddy, from Austin. He's a good kid, too. He's been fun to watch. So we will definitely keep track. We always have followed the young drivers. It's something we've done, I mean, for years and years. Jonathan caught up with Lando Norris back in the day, Lance Stroll when was still a kid, many, many more.
Alexander Rossi.
Well, Rossi, Alexander Rossi from the day we started the show, he was still pretty young, 18 maybe, 17, 18.
Playing around in the background of Caterham.
Yeah, that's right, that's right. Let's see. I do want to talk about Watkins Glen, because IMSA was racing there. And let's see. I spent so much of my time watching my son's team.
I was going to say,
my son's
got
a
mechanic, personal connection
for the Inception Racing team. And they are leading the Michelin Endurance Cup, which is like a sub-series within the series. And they're now leading that, because they did well at Daytona. They were leading at the halfway, and they're also leading halfway point today. So anyway, they're doing good. But Wayne Taylor Racing took the overall, given an Acura another 1-2 finish. Felipe Albuquerque passed the number 60 Meyer Shank Racing Acura on the restart with 21 minutes to go and held him off for a good shootout in the DPI. So it was good racing today. Had that lightning, there was about 90 minutes to go, and there was a lightning delay. And I thought we may not even get a restart, because they do 30-minute increments, you know, when they have lightning, mm-hmm. you have to wait 30 minutes.
Yep.
And I guess they must have had two. Yep. And so it was an hour delay, and they only had, when they finally, green flag dropped on after, you know, get the cars on track, everything, there was like 21 minutes left.
Oh, man. Yeah, there's a lot of technology around that, and for good reason. You've got a lot of folks out there trackside, you know, on the team and off the team, spectators.
Absolutely. You know, the first thing I thought of was the guys up on those camera stands.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because there was a big wreck, and the guy literally, it wasn't horrible, but it was a Lamborghini, and it ripped the entire front of it off, but he slid right up to the driver's cage. And the guy with the camera, you couldn't see him. But you could see him. You could just feel him trying to tilt the camera, because he couldn't go any lower, and he couldn't quite get as far down as he wanted to. But there was a crazy one of the, I guess it was LMP3 cars or two cars. One of those with a, I think it must have been a V8. One of the V8, like the Nissans or whatever. He had a catastrophic engine failure. And instantly turned into a giant fogging machine and was dumping smoke out both sides of that car like you've never seen. And you know, I thought, you're going, no big deal. But they showed the windscreen. They showed an onboard camera of a car that went through it. He went through the fog.
Oh, no.
And his windshield was covered in oil droplets. That's how bad that was. I mean, and he was, you know, at least a couple hundred feet behind him. And that's how much... So it literally misted a giant section of the track. So they had to get out the kitty litter and the jet dryer. But I thought about how much havoc that could wreak with any car that went through that cloud. Think about every single radiator, whether it's the engine radiator, the transmission cooler, the diff cooler, or however many radiators you got on some of those race cars, they all got filled with oil.
And it's
like a disaster, really. So anyway, that was, that was fun to watch. The, what about the new Cadillac DPI? I want to Google that image. Have you seen the image of that?
I have not, but the technology they were talking about with this one, how much more advanced, how many state, it's not just a redressed previous year car. I'm really, longing for the day we get the endurance races back to COTA. I know that's a lot of desire for a lot of folks, but, what they're doing with smaller engines, getting bigger horsepower, bigger power, hybrids, all of that is just going through the roof, and amazingly so.
Mm. Well, I found an image of this Cadillac. I'm going to send it to Casey, the producer, see if he can throw it up too. But Casey, I just emailed it to you. Sorry. But Les, take a look at this. Lean over and take a look at this bad boy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That thing is incredible. And just the look of it. I mean, I haven't even read about any new technology, but how cool is that?
Yeah. I want that for the street.
Yeah, look at the back of it. It's got definitely a Batmobile-ish feel to it in the back. And that's a perfect segue.
Yes.
Because there was a car at Girdwood.
Nerd alert.
This is not the technology.
Okay, not that one. Okay.
No, there was a car at Goodwood today, and it was called the McMurtry. Let me get down to that. The McMurtry Spurling. And this is, it's an electric, which, in racing, I'm not the biggest fan of, but we all love the acceleration it provides. And there's a video that hopefully Casey can find in there that that we can show the folks on YouTube.
But, wow. That is cool looking.
But this car,
about Batman.
Yeah, but look how tiny it is, how short wheelbase and narrow it is. And they had it all in centimeters and meters and everything. So I didn't do the math. But anyway, this car has a couple of technologies. It has, first of all, it's electric, so it's crazy fast off the line, right? But it also has it's a fan car, and it has a really cool high-tech looking, we think of the fan cars with a big exhaust out the back in the Formula One days before they banned it.
Oh, I'm thinking of Jim Hall,
Texan. Jim Hall, of
Come
course.
On now.
but it also has active suspension. So they're saying the thing is well over 3 G's laterally. And then you add the acceleration that it has. So in Goodwood, they destroyed the timed?
Wow, look at that.
Yeah, the timed shootout.
That almost looks like a toy or a some kind of computer generated something.
You need to watch it and listen to that video because it has a better sound than most
electric.
A little bit. Anyway, but just you can hear the traction. You can hear the. Yeah, there you go. You can also hear the wheels gripping, trying to go around those corners of Goodwood between the ancient brick stone walls,
Oh, yeah.
It was really, really cool. So that was that was something fun to watch at Goodwood. So, all right, guys, we're up against another break. Let's get that out of the way real quick. And when we come back, we'll talk Formula One and some new technology that I'm going to propose they use. Back after this. Hey guys, we are very excited to welcome our new sponsor, Allstott Brewery, to Speed City. These guys make a fantastic beer, and I'm going to let Jonathan talk about it, but I'm going to tell you about it. When I tasted it, I am not a big beer aficionado. I like a nice cold beer, but I'm always worried about a craft beer or a new beer that it's going to have a funky taste, especially aftertaste. This beer was fantastic. I have absolutely no qualms at all that this is my new favorite beer. But Jonathan, you know why, what makes it so special, the water and the recipe?
Well, yeah. I mean, these guys have done their research and do it right. And they've even imported the right water to do it right. I mean, I tell you, this Allstott beer, fantastic. And most Europeans are snobs about their beer. And I'm definitely one of those.
You're definitely a snob?
Yes, okay. About my beer.
Oh, okay.
because there's no question, carbonation has always been my issue here in the States. It's overcarbonated. And our lagers, our pilsners and lagers in Europe, especially German ones, are not that heavily carbonated. And that's a key thing. And that's the first thing that hit me was just how well they've done the beer. It's based out of Fredericksburg. It's got a great tie-in because obviously Fredericksburg, a German town, and now they've got a Texas German beer, and it's cracking.
Yeah, and the facility out there, it's amazing. They've really done it right. It's really fantastic. So check it out. You can get it at all the local HEBs and everything else, right?
Yep. It's around all around Texas. You can get it. They sell it in on the shelf there as a Texas beer. But I'll tell you what, you're right back in Germany when you drink it.
And it's Altstadtbier, Altstadt, beer.com. Altstadtbier, Altstadt, beer.com.
Gene Haas, and this is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
That song always gets us dancing in the studio.
I wonder if Gene would dance to it.
I don't know if I'd want to see that.
How about Gunther?
I'm not Gene. I'm Gunther.
you knew Casey had that queued up. All right.
Wait a minute. Did you hear who was talking about becoming an F1 driver?
Yes, your girlfriend.
Mike, wow, I'm way out of my league. Well, Lindsey Vonn, yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody made some. Lindsey Vonn coming by, American Skier. Hey, Lindsey.
Hey, how are you?
See, I told you you're a girlfriend.
Good to see you, Lindsey. Thanks. I'm doing fine. Call me. I lost your number.
Recently
never had
on the market.
It. Recently renewed. Hey, so the funny thing is, and it's rather tongue in cheek to me because she was talking about doing something else after her skiing career has come to an end. And I think it was somewhat joking, but then again, I don't know. I mean, she's certainly capable of doing a lot of things, but I don't think she's capable of sitting in an F1 car and being competitive.
Well, yeah, it was funny. She said it like, well, we had a text trail going between the guys and somebody sent that. And I was like, who sent that and why? And then I read it and I was like, I think it was Varsha who sent it.
Yeah, it was
and
Varsha.
And then I read it, and it said, I was going to become a Formula One driver. I was like, oh, just step out of skis and you know, start driving Formula One.
Why didn't I think of doing that? My last career change.
I was like, does she know that most Formula One drivers start in karting at age three and a half?
Three or four. Exactly.
Pretty good. Yeah.
Thanks, Lindsey. Yeah, good to hear from you.
Anyway, let's talk some Formula One. Les, you guys, some of your stories actually coincide with mine.
Well, go
just,
for it.
Just
lead the dance. Here we go.
All right. So I want to start with the driver market because this week we had some news, right? And and it's not just, you know, every year it can get more and more complex as the dominoes fall, right? And so this week we had the news that Gasly is signed a new contract, right?
Right.
And we all, you know, we're talking about where is he going to end up. And of course, really the dominoes, the whole equation started when Checo signed his new contract. That was probably the big thing. But I was just thinking about it from all the way down the line because we've heard talk about Ricardo and the things that Zach Brown has said. But just to wrap up Gasly, he's formally confirmed for AlphaTauri for the 2023 season.
Yep.
Checo signed a 2-year contract with Red Bull.
Yep.
But the next thing that probably happened was Ricardo, because that came to surface because Zach Brown started talking about Ricardo and saying it's not guaranteed that he's going to come back. But if you go back and look at what Zach Brown said, you immediately, when you hear him say that, you think, oh, he's just trying to pressure Ricardo to get his act together and start doing better, which he has finished ahead of his teammate Lando Norris the last couple of weeks. But what Brown said, he said, it's what Ricardo wants to do, making it sound like Ricardo has the option, not McLaren in the contract.
Right.
So I thought that was, I just hadn't heard anybody talking about that aspect of that part of that.
Well,
equation.
I also saw something, and I don't know how reliable source was, but the short version was Ricardo has the option to stick with a McLaren team, a McLaren team.
Hmm.
Like, not F1. Does he want to go play endurance? Does he want to go run Le Mans?
What's IndyCar?
Yeah. In whatever. And so, you know, that's also an option if he decides he doesn't want that regimen of F1.
Yep. And now, of course, I don't see Ricardo playing that card yet. I think that's way too premature to talk about
that.
But what I thought, I started thinking about this, and I realized Ricardo has not been out there bashing McLaren at all.
No.
And in fact, he's actually said the opposite. He's going, look, I want this to work. So I think that I think that will probably not change. If I had to make a call right now, I'd say that probably wouldn't change. But, you know, he definitely was not doing well and has only done a little bit better recently. So, and he got lucky that Lando had that horrific pit stop in the last race. His only reason he finished ahead of Lando, or the primary reason he finished ahead of Lando. So, but if he were to leave, that would clearly be the hottest seat in Formula One if he were to leave.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, next, I want to talk about Sebastian Vettel, right? You know, he started really bad this year, started poorly. He's done better lately. He missed a couple of races at the beginning of the season with COVID, crashed at Australia coming right out of all that,
right,
which you kind of get that, right? You know, you think about anybody at the highest level of any sport, any motor racing, any series, anything, you're at the very highest level and you miss two of your events, you're going to come out pretty poor. So he had that crash, but recently finished 8th at Imola, 10th at Monaco, and he barely missed points in Miami. I think it was Schumacher crashed him out there. And you know, now that Aston, they did a big aero upgrade, the cars look faster. They did a huge aero upgrade actually in Spain, and that's starting to produce results.
Well, I'm going to counter that a little bit because apparently yesterday, Lance Stroll, or actually it came out today from Adam Cooper on Motorsport, always a great guy to follow. He's reporting that Stroll is still lacking confidence in his Aston Martin, that it just does not feel right. And he's not comfortable pushing it. And so, you know, I find that interesting because to me, he's really at risk. He's been getting shown up by Sebastian Vettel lately. And I think he better get serious. He's had some ugly offs and,
he finished in the points last week.
Yeah. He keeps going well. Yep. And then it's very cyclical with him. And the way he's working with that.
So. When he finished 10th, I don't have it up, but I think it was 10th last week.
Yeah, I think it was.
Anyway, I mean, look, he does have the ace in the hole, Stroll hole.
Yeah.
So he does have that. So he could, you know, we don't really know if Lawrence Stroll would actually, you know.
Fire his kid.
So we shall see. But
he's spending money. At least he gets something out of him.
That's true. It could be worse. But what do you think about Vettel, though? I mean, do you think, as far as next year, I'm thinking of this driver market in the context of 2023.
I think Vettel is now contributing well to the team, and I think that's a reflection of his intention. I think we'll see him again next year. I think he'll be fine. Hopefully we'll see Aston Martin continue to improve and him really show well. I think he wants to end his career in a better place, in the standings than he is now.
That's probably not a bad idea. Next on my list, Fernando Alonso, who turns 41 in a few weeks. And to me, he looks better than he has in the last couple of years. I mean,
absolutely.
That rain qualifying second was phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just magical watching him make that car do what it did in the rain.
I mean, he definitely looks better now than before his break, a little time away from F1, everything about him, just listen to him and look at him and think back to what he was like 4 years ago and just head down, you know, just almost checked out at times, you know, out in the lounge chair after the car expired, things like that. I really see him, you know, up on his toes, feeling good in a positive mindset, which I think, quite honestly, is reflective of what his car is doing.
Yeah, for sure. I can't argue with that. I never saw him where I thought he was like never did I see him that I thought he lost confidence. Now, did he look like you know, am I ever going to get back in Formula One? Is it going to be worth where, when, if I do, where I land?
Right.
But I don't remember ever seeing him lose confidence. You know, when he came to the Indy 500 and when he came, he never, ever sounded like he had lost an inkling of confidence. Now,
No. I'll say he might have run his course in F1, but he wasn't done.
Yeah. So when you talk Fernando and you talk Alpine, you got to talk about the other two parts of that equation. Ocon is under contract through 2024, right? But the hottest young driver coming up through Formula One right now is Oscar Piastri, who won, let's see, he won Formula 2. He's a reigning Formula 2 champion, right? He also won Formula 3, Formula Renault, the Euro Cup champion. His resume is phenomenal, right? And he is the hottest young name and would surely be on any team's list, right? Well, he is an Alpine, product basically under their, under their corporate contracts, right? So we don't know what's, I guarantee you when they were thinking that, they're thinking, if Alonso retires, he is about to be 41 years old. But Alonso said he wants to be racing for 2 or 3 more years. And I could see that right now. I don't see his skills waning at all. So that becomes a very interesting part of that discussion. So
if you're not familiar with Oscar Piastri, yes, that's his racing pedigree. He's about 21 years old. He's an Aussie. He is well thought of in the paddock. And quite honestly, we can talk about it a little more than we did before. In April, he was here at the Circuit of the Americas doing some of his driver points requirements.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
They've got to be watched. They've got to perform. They've got to do all these different things. And one of the obsolete cars, he was out here. I remember it was a Tuesday night, and some of the bicycle crowd that goes out and runs bicycles on COTA was there, and nobody knew what that was, and they quickly closed the garage doors around it. But it was Oscar Piastri out here doing some of the test drives and some of the time in the seat that he was doing with the Alpine F1 team. Like I said, again, in a 2021 A521 car.
Yeah, which they have to. They can't have the new cars.
Right.
Yep, and so that will be very interesting. The rumors of him right now, strong rumors of him, of a temporary move to Williams. Because what did I say a while ago about Sebastian Vettel sitting out 2 races? Well, can you imagine Piastri sitting out 2 seasons, right?
Right.
Going from F2, what's he been doing other than doing test duties for
right.
Williams? I don't know what else he's been doing, but if he sat out 2 full seasons, if he didn't race next year, if I were to own that asset, that's the last thing I would want. And Williams would be the perfect place again, right? Because you're really not competing with yourself if you put him in a Williams, at least, the car that we see today. So you're not going to compete against yourself. And also Williams has this track record of kind of taking a driver on loan like this and being okay with the way that process works. I mean, look, if you're at the back of the grid like Williams is,
mm-hmm.
at least when you had Russell.
You don't get any further back.
Well, my point is that when you had George Russell, there was something to talk about at least, right? Mr.
Right.
Saturday and all that. So if you were to get Piastri next year, you'd have something positive happening in your team.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first 2 orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hey, guys, we are very excited to welcome our new sponsor, Allstott Brewery, to Speed City. These guys make a fantastic beer, and I'm going to let Jonathan talk about it, but I'm going to tell you about it. When I tasted it, I am not a big beer aficionado. I like a nice cold beer, but I'm always worried about a craft beer or a new beer that it's going to have a funky taste, especially aftertaste. This beer was fantastic. I have absolutely no no qualms at all that this is my new favorite beer. But Jonathan, you know why, what makes it so special, the water and the recipe?
Well, yeah, I mean, these guys have done their research and do it right. And they've even imported the right water to do it right. I mean, I tell you, this Alstad beer, fantastic. And I'm, you know, most Europeans are snobs about their beer. And I'm definitely one of those. Because
you're definitely a snob?
Yes, okay. About my beer.
Okay.
because there's no question, carbonation has always been my issue here in the States. It's overcarbonated. And our lagers, our pilsners and lagers in Europe, especially German ones, are not that heavily carbonated. And that's a key thing. And that's the first thing that hit me, was just how well they've done the beer. It's based out of Fredericksburg. It's got a great tie-in, because obviously Fredericksburg, a German town, and now they've got a Texas German beer, and it's cracking.
Yeah, and the facility out there, it's amazing. They've really done it right. It's really fantastic. So check it out. You can get it at all the local HEBs and everything else, right?
Yep, it's all around Texas. You can get it. They sell it in on the shelf there as a Texas beer. But I tell you what, you're right back in Germany when you drink it.
And it's Altstadtbier, Altstadt beer.com. Altstadtbier, Altstadt beer.com.
Gene Haas, and this is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
That song always gets us dancing in the studio.
I wonder if Gene would dance to it.
I don't know if I'd want to see that.
How about Gunther?
I'm not Gene. I'm Gunther.
you knew Casey had that queued up. All right.
Wait a
minute.
Did you hear who was talking about becoming an F1 driver?
Yes, your girlfriend.
Mike, wow, I'm way out of my league. Well, Lindsey Vonn, yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody made Lindsey Vonn coming by, American Skier. Hey, Lindsey.
Hey, how are you?
See, I told you your girlfriend.
Good to see you, Lindsey. Thanks. I'm doing fine. Call me. I lost your number.
Recently
never had
on the market.
Recently renewed. Hey, so the funny thing is, and it's rather tongue-in-cheek to me, because she was talking about doing something else after her skiing career has come to an end. And I think it was somewhat joking, but then again, I don't know. I mean, she's certainly capable of doing a lot of things, but I don't think she's capable of sitting in an F1 car and being competitive.
Well, yeah, it was funny. She said it like, well, we had a text trail going between the guys, and somebody sent that. And I was like, who sent that and why? And then I read it and I was like, I think it was Varsha who sent it.
Yeah, it was
and
Varsha.
Then I read it and it said, I was going to become a Formula One driver. I was like, oh, just step out of skis and you know, start driving Formula One.
Why didn't I think of doing that? My last career change.
That's excellent. Does she know that most Formula One drivers start in karting at age three and a half or four?
Exactly.
Pretty good. Yeah.
Thanks, Lindsey. Yeah, good to hear from you.
Anyway, let's talk some Formula One. Les, you guys, some of your stories actually coincide with mine.
Well, go for it.
Just
lead the dance. Here we go.
All right. So I want to start with the driver market, because this week we had some news, right? And and it's not just, you know, every year it can get more and more complex as the dominoes fall, right? And so this week we had the news that Gasly is signed a new contract, right?
Right.
And we all, you know, we're talking about where is he going to end up. And of course, really the dominoes, the whole equation started when Checo signed his new contract. That was probably the big thing. But I was just thinking about it from all the way down the line, because we've heard talk about Ricardo and the things that Zach Brown has said. But just to wrap up Gasly, he's formally confirmed for AlphaTauri for the 2023 season.
Yep.
Checo signed a 2-year contract with Red Bull.
Yep.
But the next thing that probably happened was Ricardo, because that came to surface because Zach Brown started talking about Ricardo and saying it's not guaranteed that he's going to come back. But if you go back and look at what Zach Brown said, you immediately, when you hear him say that, you think, oh, he's just trying to pressure Ricardo to get his act together and start doing better, which he has finished ahead of his teammate Lando Norris the last couple of weeks. But what Brown said, he said, what Zach Brown said, he said, It's what Ricardo wants to do, making it sound like Ricardo has the option, not McLaren, in the contract.
Right.
So I thought that was, I just hadn't heard anybody talking about that aspect of that part of that.
Well,
equation.
I also saw something, and I don't know how reliable the source was, but the short version was Ricardo has the option to stick with a McLaren team.
Hmm.
Like, not F1. Does he want to go play endurance? Does he want to go run Le Mans?
What's IndyCar?
Yeah. In whatever. And so, you know, that's also an option if he decides he doesn't want that regimen of F1.
Yep. And now, of course, I don't see Ricardo playing that card yet. I think that's way too premature to talk about.
I agree.
That. But what I thought, I started thinking about this, and I realized Ricardo has not been out there bashing McLaren at all.
No.
And in fact, he's actually said the opposite. He's going, look, I want this to work. So I think that I think that will probably not change. If I had to make a call right now, I'd say that probably wouldn't change. But, you know, he definitely was not doing well and has only done a little bit better recently. So, and he got lucky that Lando had that horrific pit stop in the last race. His only reason he finished ahead of Lando, or the primary reason he finished ahead of Lando. So, but if he were to leave, that would clearly be the hottest seat in Formula One if he were to leave.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So next I want to talk about Sebastian Vettel, right? You know, he started really bad this year, started poorly. He's done better lately. He missed a couple of races at the beginning of the season with COVID, crashed at Australia coming right out of all that,
right.
Which you kind of get that, right? You know, you think about anybody at the highest level of any sport, any motor racing, any series, anything, you're at the very highest level and you miss two of your events, you're going to come out pretty poor. So he had that crash, but recently finished 8th at Imola, 10th at Monaco, and he barely missed points in Miami. I think it was Schumacher crashed him out there. And, you know, now that Aston, they did a big aero upgrade. The cars look faster. They did a huge aero upgrade, actually, in Spain, and that's starting to produce results.
Well, I'm going to counter that a little bit. Because apparently, yesterday, Lance Stroll, or actually it came out today from Adam Cooper on Motorsport, always a great guy to follow, he's reporting that Stroll is still lacking confidence in his Aston Martin. That it just does not feel right. And he's not comfortable pushing it. And so, you know, I find that interesting because to me, he's really at risk. He's been getting shown up by Sebastian Vettel lately. And I think he better get serious. He's had some ugly offs and,
he finished in the points last week.
Yeah. He keeps going well. Yep. And then it's very cyclical with him. And the way he's working with that.
What, did he finish 10th? I don't have it up, but I think it was 10th last week.
Yeah, I think it was.
Anyway, I mean, look, he does have the ace in the hole. Stroll hole.
Yeah.
So he does have that. So he could, you know, we don't really know if Lawrence Stroll would actually, you know.
Fire his kid.
So we shall see. But
he's spending money. At least he gets something out of him.
That's true. It could be worse. But what do you think about Vettel, though? I mean, do you think, as far as next year, I'm thinking of this driver market in the context of 2023.
I think Vettel is now contributing well to the team, and I think that's a reflection of his intention. I think we'll see him again next year. I think he'll be fine. Hopefully, we'll see Aston Martin continue to improve and him really show well. I think he wants to end his career in a better place, in the standings than he is now.
That's probably not a bad idea. Next on my list, Fernando Alonso, who turns 41 in a few weeks. And to me, he looks better than he has in the last couple of years. I mean,
absolutely.
That rain qualifying second was phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just magical watching him make that car do what it did in the rain.
I mean, he definitely looks better now than before his break, a little time away from F1, everything about him, just listen to him and look at him and think back to what he was like 4 years ago and just head down, you know, just almost checked out at times, you know, out in the lounge chair out after the car expired. things like that. I really see him, you know, up on his toes, feeling good, in a positive mindset, which I think, quite honestly, is reflective of what his car is doing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I can't argue with that. I never saw him where I thought he was never did I see him that I thought he lost confidence. Now, did he look like, am I ever going to get back in Formula One? Is it going to be worth where, when, if I do, where I land?
Right.
But I don't remember ever seeing him lose confidence. You know, when he came to the Indy 500 and when he came, he never, ever sounded like he had lost an inkling of confidence. Now,
No. I'll say he might have run his course in F1, but he wasn't done.
Yeah. So when you talk Fernando and you talk Alpine, you got to talk about the other two parts of that equation. Ocon is under contract through 2024, right? But the hottest young driver coming up through Formula One right now is Oscar Piastri, who won, he won Formula 2. He's a reigning Formula 2 champion, right? He also won Formula 3, Formula Renault, the Euro Cup champion. His resume is phenomenal, right? And he is the hottest young name and would surely be on any team's list, right? Well, he is he is an Alpine, product basically under their corporate contracts, right? So we don't know I guarantee you when they were thinking that, they're thinking, if Alonso retires, he is about to be 41 years old. But Alonso said he wants to be racing for 2 or 3 more years. And I could see that right now. I don't see his skills waning at all. So that becomes a very interesting part of that discussion. So
if you're not familiar with Oscar Piastri, yes, that's his racing pedigree. He's about 21 years old. He's an Aussie. He is well thought of in the paddock. And quite honestly, we can talk about it a little more than we did before. In April, he was here at the Circuit of the Americas doing some of his driver points requirements.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
They've got to be watched. They've got to perform. They've got to do all these different things. And one of the obsolete cars, he was out here. I remember it was a Tuesday night, and some of the bicycle crowd that goes out and runs bicycles on COTA was there, and nobody knew what that was, and they quickly closed the garage doors around it. But it was Oscar Piastri out here doing some of the test drives and some of the time in the seat that he was doing with the Alpine F1 team. Like I said, again, in a 2021 A521 car.
Yeah, which they have to. They can't have the new cars.
Right.
Yep, and so that will be very interesting. The rumors of him right now, strong rumors of him, of a temporary move to Williams. Because what did I say a while ago about Sebastian Vettel sitting out 2 races? Well, can you imagine Piastri sitting out 2 seasons, right?
Right.
Going from F2, what's he been doing other than doing test duties for
right.
Williams? I don't know what else he's been doing, but if he sat out 2 full seasons, if he didn't race next year, if I were to own that asset, that's the last thing I would want. And Williams would be the perfect place again, right? Because you're really not competing with yourself if you put him in a Williams, at least, the car that we see today. So you're not going to compete against yourself. And also Williams has this track record of kind of taking a driver on loan like this and being okay with the way that process works. I mean, look, if you're at the back of the grid like Williams is,
mm-hmm.
at least when you had Russell.
You don't get any further back.
Well, my point is that when you had George Russell, there was something to talk about at least, right? Mr.
Right.
Saturday and all that. So if you were to get Piastri next year, you'd have something positive happening in your team. So
yeah.
that would work. All right. So my last driver, and then we got to go to break because this segment's running long. My last driver that I have on my list, and I started building this a week ago before this driver had a pretty good week, and that's Lewis Hamilton. And you're thinking, wait, what? Lewis Hamilton in the silly season? Because when I started this, it was before he had a pretty good race last week.
Right.
And I was thinking, if Mercedes continues to struggle, because I still say Mercedes right now reminds me of Haas of 2 or 3 years ago when Haas had to just basically start over and take the car from last year and just start from scratch again.
Yep.
I feel like that's the way that Mercedes has been. They have not been able to get it figured out. And in fact, George Russell even said it. He said something like, we're struggling every single week. In fact, I tweeted that from our account. Let me see if I can get that quote. But the really what I'm getting at is the fact that, actually, I'm confusing that with Max Verstappen. Anyway, so Lewis Hamilton, what if Mercedes got to the end of the season, they hadn't figured it out, and they didn't have a lot of hope for figuring it out next year? Could Hamilton walk away? It's a possibility, right?
Yeah.
Stranger things have happened.
This movie project he's working on.
That's right.
Brad Pitt, I think it was, and music and all kinds of things.
So if the Mercedes seat opened up, that might trump the McLaren seat that I was talking about earlier.
Okay.
So that's my driver market for 2023 kind of breakdown for the time being. And now we have to go to a break. But when we come back, we're going to go into the second dimension. Ooh, and we're going to talk about some Formula One technology that I want to propose. You're listening to Speed City, back after this.
When you leave the Circuit of the Americas today, you need to go check out our friends at Iron Wolf Ranch and Distillery, just 40 minutes west of Weird in the beautiful Spicewood, Texas. They produce a wide variety of unique, award-winning spirits, including bourbon, whiskeys, gin, vodka, and rums. They're kid and dog-friendly with yard games and Crego's Pizza and wings on site every weekend. Enjoy a full bar, tasting room, bottle purchases, and live music when you visit the ranch. Check them out on Facebook and Instagram, and always ask for Iron Wolf at your favorite bars and liquor stores across Texas. Iron Wolf Ranch and Distillery. Bold spirits, Texas attitude.
Motivation USA, catering to the sport bike enthusiast looking for truly unique parts and accessories. Stand out from the crowd. Motivation is the exclusive North American distributor for SC Project MotoGP inspired exhausts and the largest Rizoma retailer in the United States. Get the best parts from around the world at the best prices with fast shipping and a knowledgeable staff ready to help. Shop online 24/7 at MotivationUSA.com. That's MotivationUSA.com.
Austin's Talk 1370.
Hi guys, this is Pierre Gasly and you're listening to Speed City.
You're listening to Speed City F1 on Sirius XM.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go into the second dimension. We're going to talk about a material that is only two-dimensional. And you're going, that we can use in Formula One. I've got you completely stumped. Okay, if you're an engineering geek like me, I've been hearing about this material called graphene for years and years and years. And graphene is essentially the same material that's in, it's carbon, but it's basically the same material that's in a pencil lead. And graphene was discovered, get this makes the story even weirder. It was discovered by some scientists or engineers that they used scotch tape and they put scotch tape on this carbon and they pulled it off. And there was a layer that was literally one dimension. It's one atom thick, but graphene, if you studied it, it's crazy strong. It's crazy conductive. It's like one of the, maybe the best conductor of electricity ever. It's stronger than steel, as everybody likes to say, carbon fiber, whatever else. But it's this crazy material that when it was discovered like 20 years ago, everybody said, this is going to change the world. And everything's, you know, it was like nuclear fusion. It was like, it's going to change the world. It's going to solve all our energy problems. Well, this was going to help solve energy problems. So I was watching this engineering video and they talked about how graphene is now being used in supercapacitors or ultra capacitors. Mm-hmm. And we all know what capacitors are, all right? They're kind of like a battery. And the difference between a capacitor and a battery is that capacitors store electricity not chemically like a battery.
Right.
If you think about a battery, it has to convert from chemical to electrical energy. Well, a capacitor stores it in electricity, is actually static electricity. Yep. So, and capacitors are made up of lots and lots of thin membranes of metal sheets, and typically they're aluminum. Well, if you think about a thin piece of aluminum versus a thin piece of graphene, which is one atom thin, you can get literally thousands times more sheets inside of a supercapacitor, ultracapacitor. And so what that does is provide the takes the capacitor to another level. And so if you think about what a capacitor does, it is instantaneous disbursement of electricity, right? Like, if you think about a Formula One car or a Tesla, like let's say a Tesla Plaid or a P100, they talk about how you have to put in a certain mode and it blasts and you have to have the biggest battery to get the fastest.
Right.
But a capacitor can store a massive amount of energy, but it doesn't have the depth of energy, let's call it, of a big 100 kilowatt Tesla battery.
Mm-hmm.
So you could, so this would be perfect for racing. So when you go into a corner right now in a Formula One car using the KERS system, you stomp the brakes and you absorb as much energy as you can into the battery. But think of it this way. A battery has a small spigot. You can only put so much energy at a time.
Right.
But if you were to use a supercapacitor that had graphene, you could literally stomp the brakes. And instead of using, right now, I don't know what the percentage is. I would guess that it's still, 80% using the standard brake technology that we've had for years and a little bit, maybe 20% storing from the KERS system. What if you were able to store the other way around? 80%, let's say you could store 80% of that energy from stomping on the brakes at 220 miles an hour in a, 1,300 pound car. That amount of energy, think about how much energy that is. If you could store all of it. There you go. Think if you could store that in a matter of what? A second or two in a braking moment in Formula One. And then right now, the same thing coming out, that electricity coming out, right? So right now you have to have a big giant battery. Well, Formula One cars don't have a big giant battery. So there's only so much of that. We love seeing the new cars come out of a corner, right? They have so much torque because of the hybrid system, right? Well, imagine that if you'd have double, triple, quadruple amount of that amount of energy plus lightweight, because capacitors are very lightweight. Now, they're not going to provide down the straightaway power. That's where your battery comes in. But if you were to have some hybrid, Mike Bowles just commented on YouTube. He said, my head hurts.
Thanks, Mike.
Okay, Mike, I'm going to post some YouTube videos. This one that I watched, it's actually really, really good. It's only like a 10-minute video. But he talked about how buses in China use this right now. So they have the little rails up top where they go.
Mm-hmm.
Because you think about what a bus does. A bus doesn't run around town all the time at top speed.
Right.
They go stop to stop to stop. So think about the physics equation of a bus going 20 miles an hour, but it weighs, 20,000 pounds. It's probably maybe even more energy than a Formula One car, all the different speed differentials. But the point of all that is that you could harness all of that energy that you use in braking in a Formula One car instantly, in a second or two. If you were to calculate it into joules or whatever level, whatever energy measurement you want to use. But that, I just think that would be a really cool, and I bet you dollars to donuts that we will hear about supercapacitors / ultracapacitors in Formula One before you know it.
And I don't think so, Tim.
And I literally sat up in bed thinking that, wow, this is really cool. So,
well, thank you, Dr. Emmett Brown. Appreciate it.
That's a pretty good analogy. I like that. But I got a couple more stats here. Let me think. What?
Of course
they?
You do. It's a spreadsheet. I see it over there.
It's actually not a spreadsheet.
Database.
I think actually, it's not only two-dimensional, but it's the thinnest compound known to man at one atom thick. Graphene is.
Women too?
Yes. Known to man.
Just checking.
And women.
I'm trying to keep the playing field level.
Okay. Now that I've eaten up all but about 3 minutes left, I know, Les, that you want to talk about Coda. They had Cars and Coffee back for the first
Cars
time.
Cars and Coffee. After, huge.
That's
huge.
That's because it's the first one back after COVID.
Yeah.
Right?
Everybody was so getting out there. I had every intention of being there, but I didn't get to make it. Seeing some pictures. Yeah. Oh, man. Keep sharing those pictures. Some wicked cars out there. And, I was out at COTA yesterday for a private event. It was a lot of fun. And by all means, I was hosting a family during this event. Sometimes we forget how great this facility is.
Yeah.
Quite honestly.
I know.
Yeah.
Incredible, world class.
But yeah. If you haven't been here, or even if you have, If you have plans or if you don't have plans to be here for this year's Formula One race, there's something you got to check out. Check out the new travel packages that COTA has released. You can find them off the circuit.com. And these are that can combine your hotel stay, your transportation in the community, includes hospitality lounges, downtown, concierge service. You know, if you already have your tickets, you can still get this. Or if you need tickets, they can accommodate that as well. So check it out. There are a lot of different budgets.
I saw
available.
It was very cool. Yeah, a lot of different levels, right?
Yeah, you can start off at a little bit more than $500 a person plus your tickets. And so, yeah, just get it. I mean, that is something that's really great. That's four nights of stay in one of the Austin hotels, and your travels back and forth, things like that. So just realize that if you're coming in, you don't want to deal with paying for parking out there and the hassle to that comes along with all of that. Let somebody else drive. Really get into the spirit of things. Like I said, starting around $500, and they go up from there.
Hey, I want to mention Paul Bryan. He loves to tweet at us. He tweeted a really good story about Lola, the car builder name resurrected. Isn't that cool? You got to look into this. It was brand new. A guy, I forgot his name, Till Beckenslimer. I can't even say it. Anyway, some crazy name, but isn't that great to see Lola name back? And thank you, Paul, because that was a good story. I wanted to talk more about it. I had another science story that I wanted to talk about. We have no time. We're out of time. I want to talk about...
Imagine that.
I want to talk about e-fuels and Formula One fuels, because I think that's going to be big, too. Well, thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We appreciate it. Don't forget, we have our Formula One coverage every Formula One Grand Prix weekend on national radio. And you can go to our website, speedcitybroadcast.com, to find out how to watch and listen to that. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Jonathan Green and Ryan Sheehan. We'll talk to you guys next Sunday.
Ciao, y'all.
1.21 gigawatts! 1.21 gigawatts!
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
When you leave the Circuit of the Americas today, you need to go check out our friends at Iron Wolf Ranch and Distillery, just 40 minutes west of Weird in the beautiful Spicewood, Texas. They produce a wide variety of unique, award-winning spirits, including bourbon, whiskeys, gin, vodka, and rums. They're kid and dog friendly with yard games and Craigo's Pizza and Wings on site every weekend. Enjoy a full bar, tasting room, bottle purchases, and live music when you visit the ranch. Check them out on Facebook and Instagram, and always ask for Iron Wolf at your favorite bars and liquor stores across Texas. Iron Wolf Ranch and Distillery. Bold spirits, Texas attitude.
Motivation USA, catering to the sport bike enthusiast looking for truly unique parts and accessories. Stand out from the crowd. Motivation is the exclusive North American distributor for SC Project Moto GP inspired exhausts and the largest Rizoma retailer in the United States. Get the best parts from around the world at the best prices with fast shipping and a knowledgeable staff ready to help. Shop online 24/7 at motivationusa.com. That's motivationusa.com.
Austin's Talk 1370.
Hi, guys. This is Craig Astley, and you're listening to Speed City.
You're listening to Speed City F1 on Sirius XM.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go into the second dimension. We're going to talk about a material that is only two-dimensional. And you're going, that we can use in Formula One. I've got you completely stumped. Okay, if you're an engineering geek like me, I've been hearing about this material called graphene for years and years and years. And graphene is essentially the same material that's in, it's carbon, but it's basically the same material that's in a pencil lead. And graphene was discovered, get this, this makes the story even weirder. It was discovered by some scientists or engineers that they used Scotch tape and pulled, they put Scotch tape on this carbon and they pulled it off. And there was a layer that was literally one dimension. It's one atom thick. But graphene, if you studied it, it's crazy strong. It's crazy conductive. It's like one of the, maybe the best conductor of electricity ever. It's stronger than steel, as everybody likes to say, carbon fiber, whatever else. But it's this crazy material that when it was discovered like 20 years ago, everybody said, this is going to change the world. And everything's, you know, it was like nuclear fusion. It was like, it's going to change the world. It's going to solve all our energy problems. Well, this was going to help solve energy problems. So I was watching this engineering video, and they talked about how graphene is now being used in supercapacitors or ultracapacitors. Mm-hmm. And we all know what capacitors are, all right? They're kind of like a battery. And the difference between a capacitor and a battery is that capacitors store electricity not chemically like a battery.
Right.
If you think about a battery, it has to convert from chemical to electrical energy. Well, a capacitor stores it in electricity, is actually static electricity. Yep. So, and capacitors are made up of lots and lots of thin membranes of metal sheets, and typically they're aluminum. Well, if you think about a thin piece of aluminum versus a thin piece of graphene, which is one atom thin, you can get literally thousands times more sheets inside of a supercapacitor or ultracapacitor. And so what that does is provide it takes the capacitor to another level. And so if you think about what a capacitor does, it is instantaneous disbursement of electricity, right? Like if you think about a Formula One car or a Tesla, like let's say a Tesla Plaid or a P100, they talk about how you have to put in a certain mode and it blasts and you have to have the biggest battery to get the fastest.
Right.
But a capacitor can store a massive amount of energy, but it doesn't have the depth of energy, let's call it, of a big 100 kilowatt Tesla battery.
Mm-hmm.
So you could, so this would be perfect for racing. So when you go into a corner right now in a Formula One car using the KERS system, you stomp the brakes and you absorb as much energy as you can into the battery. But think of it this way. A battery has a small spigot. You can only put so much energy at a time.
Right.
But if you were to use a supercapacitor that had graphene, you could literally stomp the brakes. And instead of using, right now, I don't know what the percentages is. I would guess that it's still, you know, 80% using the standard brake technology that we've had for years and a little bit, you know, maybe 20% storing from the KERS system. What if you were able to store the other way around, 80%, let's say you could store 80% of that energy from stomping on the brakes at 220 miles an hour in a, you know, 1300 pound car, that amount of energy, think about how much energy that is. If you could store all of there you go. Think if you could store that in a matter of what, a second or two in a braking moment in Formula One. And then right now, the same thing coming out, that electricity coming out, right? So right now, you have to have a big, giant battery. Well, Formula One cars don't have a big, giant battery, so there's only so much of that. You know, we love seeing the new cars come out of a corner, right? They have so much torque because of the hybrid system, right? Well, imagine that if you'd have double, triple, quadruple amount of that amount of energy plus lightweight, because capacitors are very lightweight. Now, they're not going to provide down the straightaway power. That's where your battery comes in. But if you were to have some hybrid, Mike Bowles just commented on YouTube. He said, my head hurts.
Thanks, Mike.
Okay, Mike, I'm going to post some YouTube videos. This one that I watched, it's actually really, really good. It's only like a 10-minute video. But he talked in this video, he talked about how buses in China use this right now. So they have the little rails up top where they go.
Mm-hmm.
Because think about what a bus does. A bus doesn't run around town all the time at top speed.
Right.
They go stop to stop to stop. So think about the physics equation of a bus going 20 miles an hour, but it weighs, you know, 20,000 pounds. It's probably maybe even more energy than a Formula One car, all the different speed differentials. But the point of all that is that you could harness all of that energy that you use in braking in a Formula One car instantly, in a second or two. You know, if you were to calculate it into joules or whatever level, whatever energy measurement you want to use. But that, I just think that would be a really cool, and I bet you dollars to donuts that we will hear about supercapacitors / ultracapacitors in Formula One before you know it.
And I don't think so, Tim.
And I literally sat up in bed thinking that, wow, this is really cool. So,
well, thank you, Dr. Emmett Brown. Appreciate it.
That's a pretty good analogy. I like that. But I got a couple more stats here. Let me think. What?
Of course
they?
You do. It's a spreadsheet. I see it over there.
It's actually not a spreadsheet.
Database.
I think actually it's not only two-dimensional, but it's the thinnest compound known to man at one atom thick. Graphene is.
Women and, too?
Yes. Known to man.
Just checking.
And women.
I'm trying to keep the playing field level.
Okay. Now that I've eaten up all but about 3 minutes left, I know, Les, that you want to talk about Coda. They had Cars and Coffee back for the first
Cars
time.
Cars and Coffee. After, huge.
That's
huge, huge.
That's because it's the first one back everybody's, after COVID.
Yeah.
Right?
Everybody was so getting out there. You know, I had every intention of being there, but I didn't get to make it. Seeing some pictures. Yeah. Oh, man. Keep sharing those pictures. Some wicked cars out there. And, you know, I was out at COTA yesterday for a private event. It was a lot of fun. And by all means, I was hosting a family during this event. Sometimes we forget how great this facility is.
Yeah.
Quite honestly. I mean, yeah.
Incredible world class.
But yeah. If you haven't been here, or even if you have plans, or if you don't have plans to be here for this year's Formula One race, there's something you got to check out. Check out the new travel packages that COTA has released. You can find them off the circuit.com. And these are that can combine your hotel stay, your transportation in the community, includes hospitality lounges, downtown, concierge service. You know, if you already have your tickets, you can still get this. Or if you need tickets, they can accommodate that as well. So check it out. There are a lot of different budgets available.
It was very cool. Yeah, a lot of different levels, right?
Yeah, you can start off at you know, a little bit more than $500 a person plus your tickets. And so, yeah, just get it. I mean, that is something that's really great. That's four nights of stay in one of the Austin hotels. And so, and your travels back and forth, things like that. So just realize that, you know, if you're coming in, you don't want to deal with paying for parking out there and the hassle to that comes along with all of that. Let somebody else drive. Really get into the spirit of things. Like I said, starting around $500, and they go That's way cool. up from there.
Hey, I want to mention Paul Bryan. He loves to tweet at us. He tweeted a really good story about Lola, the car builder name resurrected. Isn't that cool? You got to look into this. It was brand new. A guy, I think it's I forgot his name. Till Beckenslammer, I can't even say it. Anyway, some crazy name, but isn't that great to see Lola name back? And thank you, Paul, because that was a good story. I wanted to talk more about it. I had another science story that I wanted to talk about. We have no time. We're out of time. I want to talk about...
Imagine that.
I want to talk about e-fuels and Formula One fuels, because I think that's going to be big, too. Well, thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We appreciate it. Don't forget, we have our Formula One coverage every Formula One Grand Prix weekend on national radio, and you can go to our website, speedcitybroadcast.com, to find out how to watch and listen to that. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Jonathan Green and Ryan Sheehan. We'll talk to you guys next Sunday.
Ciao, y'all.
1.21 gigawatts! 1.21 gigawatts!